welcome to the show all. It was about time we had some more hot take fueled chats and some real dissection of the culture within already crazy pop culture. So joining me here are Liam.
Hello.
Hello. And Dave.
Good evening. Good afternoon for you, sorry.
Yeah. We're crazy time zones here. From the Watch If You Can podcast show. They suggested this hysterical option, and I was ready to buy it. I'm like, that's perfect. You know, we're all trying to find a few different things that would be of use and everything. But yeah, no, that this is a perfect, like, not just a comparison, but also a contrast onto how, I mean, I even just setting up a promo image for this chat down the road, I found some hysterical memes. One showed with the US watches, which was showing tasteless reality TV, and with the UK watches, which was just skyscrapers and, you know, quiet TV. So, what got you guys into various entertainment and wanted to even start a podcast?
So, to me and Liam, we've been friends now for coming up to 30 years.
Oh, nice.
So when we were teenagers, we used to do hospital radio. Do you have hospital radio over there? Is that even a thing?
Hospital radio.
So what it is, back in the UK, we don't.
It's primarily in the UK. Okay, well, I'm all ears.
We didn't really have other radio stations because it was very hard to get a license to have radio shows. And like in America, you have a university college campus radio. So it's the most similar thing you've got to that. So basically, there'd be like, you'd broadcast to hospital to sick people, basically. And it's a one way to get into radio. And that's what we both did when we were like, we're only 16, weren't we?
Yeah, we were just kids, so we did that for a few years. It's all voluntary, and you know you do it. You take requests from the patients. You just basically try and keep people entertained. We used to do like a sports show as well, and then we kind of fell out of it because just kind of life kind of going the way. I had kids. Liam moved to London. Things changed, and then just kind of last year we had a conversation. We were like, you know, how can we kind of get back into the kind of medium again? Because we do miss it, and we did enjoy it.
I think that's why everyone's kind of getting into podcasts, and they're now even reaching out into audio dramas in a way, because they're realizing, hey, the whole spoken word conversation with no visual is just intriguing.
But the thing that kind of happened next was, okay, we want to do a podcast, but what's it going to be about?
Yeah, what do we do?
It could have been sports. It could have been other things. But we just decided, again, thinking about how long we've been friends, we've been going to cinema together for, we think, probably coming up to 35 years in the next couple of years, because we started going to cinema together again as teenagers. So TV and film have just been one of our common things.
If we're honest as well, whenever we got together, we'd sit there and talk about what we've been watching anyway. So we say, well, let's just record it. Let's just.
These are hysterical chats. You might as well.
Yeah, lately.
We like to think so.
Yeah, no one else listens to us anyway. So we might as well put it out for no one worldwide to listen to us.
Validate some random person 5 hours away in Wales.
So originally, we've come up with the idea of doing sort of 10 episodes and calling them a box set. So we would each week we pick something each, and we would have sort of 10 questions we would kind of ask each other. Some questions around just, you know, kind of why have you picked it, you know, talk about who's in it and other films that they're in that people, you know, our listener might not know them from. And then one of the questions is around kind of how would you try and make that movie or make that TV better than it is, which is really hard when it's something that you love as well. You know, you've got to answer that question.
Yeah, would I recast?
Yeah, things like that. Yeah.
So, what about you, Cam? Because one thing that struck me was you talk about a hell of a lot of topics. How do we
variety show? Yeah.
How do you have time to fit this in? and how much do you know about everything?
I know as much as I permit myself to know. I But altogether, I just figured, hey, we can have a variety show. Don't pigeonhole ourselves. Don't be just the horror sci-fi chat. Don't be just the action and other movie chats. And altogether, it was just a matter of just go with it and have fun. And it was before COVID hit, but also I was getting tired of only blogging and everything. And I was like, hey, let's match up people around the world. Let's give them an audience. Let's give them a voice. And it was a bit of everything, but I was already kind of experienced doing a lot of improv and theater in college. And I just said, well, I got to put that skill to use anyway, because internet radio, I'm sorry, that is not where it's at. Podcasts are definitely where it's a bit of at, but even regular radio still has some, you know, audience, if you can believe it. You know, people can't crack the code, but there's always going to be someone who wants to hear an angry talk show host or shock jock out there in the world. And eventually gets mixed in with other radio hits that are still playing 24/7. So, I mean, there's something for everybody. I listen to my fair share of college radio. And I have satellite radio. But the main point is that, you know, with a podcast, you are just... it gave me something to do instead of just have a stable job and only work my ass off and then come home and bitch, you know, or...
That's exactly what we do. That we can... we both have pretty administrative jobs, really. We're both...
yeah, they're not exciting.
No, no.
Desk-based.
You can't bore yourself. You can't let the keyboard just eat up everything you're doing.
And plus, we'd literally only be talking about films and TV anyway. So it's...
So in our youth, in university, you did film.
Well, I did, believe it or not, Cam, I went to university. My degree is joint honours in American Studies and Media and Culture.
Oh, nice. Look at you go.
So, yeah. So I've always had a little bit of a fast... I've never been to America yet, but I've always had a bit of a love-hate fascination with America, especially culture, everything you do, TV-wise, film-wise.
This is why this is a perfect chat tonight.
Yes, definitely.
So, but my experience is American culture-wise is I worked in a Blockbuster camp.
Dear. I'm sorry.
So that does, though, feed into my love of film, because you used to get kind of 7 free films a week. So mm-hmm. You would watch a film every night, and sometimes you'd use other
people's... like, our culture is being eaten up by the end of the 90s. You're like, man, what? Anyone can make any of this crazy shit. Give me more boobs and killer cyborgs and less of this crappy just movies. I mean, the 90s were insane in that, like, you could fund a movie just over someone's persona. Hey, let's have it be a famous model. Hey, let's have it be a basketball player. Hey, let's have it be a rap star. They can't act, but that's okay.
One of the questions I did want to ask you was just around the cinema experience compared to the UK, because we see a lot of clips on YouTube of especially sort of Marvel films and some of those action films, of people kind of cheering and
whooping
and really getting involved. And in the UK, that just simply doesn't happen. We
people mind their business, more reserved.
We sit in silence, and I enjoy.
We frown at people. That's what we do really well in this country.
I don't even like people, to be honest. Well, I was just wondering, what's your take on it when you go to the cinema?
It can vary depending on the theater. Obviously, there's no more the discount theater, but I think the main issue is just now. You still have just those annoying parents in the audience who can't afford a babysitter and should have stayed home. You'll have some people geeking out and being louder than others. It really does depend. My main issue is just when you get to the movie and it just is so loud and you're like, whoa, hey, you know, this needs to be a little better mixed. So then it would get even more ironic when the biggest complaint about a movie like Interstellar was that it was too loud and it got a sound mixing thing. It's like, that sound mixing was not good. And
We've had that recently with the Spider-Verse one, haven't we?
It was the opposite, wasn't it? It wasn't loud. It wasn't loud enough. It was...
Superhero movies can be also very overwhelming, where you're just like, okay, guys.
So are you for or against like audience participation because I said, when we see clips of America, like especially I think the famous one is like some of the Marvel MCU ones where the crowd getting up and they're jumping wild.
Oh, watching. Yeah. If it's very, very clever humor or just like a badass movie, like someone's, you know, leading a brigade in a war movie or it's an intense martial arts movie and they're finally, you know, he's owning the baddie in a fight, that's cool. That tracks. But when it gets down to like very divisive or people are literally shouting or saying, hey, shut up. It's like, no, you shut the fuck up. I was already minding my business. Every once in a while, we would get that. We would get someone who clearly didn't want to be at a movie and they would shush us. And I'm like,
well, that's very British, isn't it?
But she doesn't even want to be there. So it's like, you leave.
See, I remember years ago, I went to see... I think it's a Coen Brothers film, is it Burn After Reading?
Yeah.
Brad Pitt. Like, it's not a great film. It was pretty weird.
Yeah, it's pretty weak sauce.
There was a guy behind me who found everything hilarious. A long time as well. Do you know what I mean? And it was like, yeah. It got to the point where it was annoying, but then there was a group of us and see, it became funny because we were listening out for him more than the film. I think that's
right. You're done with the movie, but
yeah, but just let's just crack on with this guy. And he was laughing at the most
mundane.
Joke.
Yeah,
he was just laughing. Yeah. And I was like, but it was quite funny. It was better than a film.
A cinema experience. Actually, now you've just said that when Scream came out, the very first one,
the very first one. Oh wow!
First one, I went to a packed out cinema, and there was a guy who was about 2-3 rows behind us who was laughing manically.
Okay.
And he was on his own. And that made the film more scary because it felt like you had a psycho two seats.
Oh,
behind.
Really?
You actually added to the experience. But have you found this new trend of people taking pictures and videos in the cinema? I've had that experience.
Really
recently.
Not. And I will sit in the back, but if anything, I'm checking my phone real fast, but I am not. I think it's really only with superhero movies, just people wanting to talk shit and report something for their pretentious blog. But don't get me wrong, it's always going to be out there. There's always going to be someone who you're like, whoa, dude, manners.
So what, do you have like a multiplex by you or local cinema?
There's various brands. AMC is probably one of the bigger ones. And there's all kinds of brands. I think the main issue is just ticket prices are just, I can't justify it. I can't do it all the time. So you pretty much from that point on say, I'll see it, but only when it comes to streaming or only when it comes onto cable TV. You know, you pretty much got to set your time and money up front. And it's even harder when you got to tell people, hey, I'm glad you were having fun at this. I want to see it, but not this instant. Or not with that person who is very annoying when I watch a movie with them. Or I will watch it, but probably at 2 a.m. on HBO so I can skip through it because it looks very boring. You know, and just, I really don't have any general interest. Sorry. You know, different strokes for different folks. But it does get annoying when you're having to kind of just dissect and pick everyone's brain and just say, well, I don't even know why anyone else is excited about this. I see nothing in you know, fascinating about this at all. So I've just learned to just kind of just not be the snob in the corner. Don't go the, oh, what the hell? Just sit, observe, and listen, just like you would if you want to just do casual joking, you know?
Part of observe. The theme with our sort of podcast is we generally only talk about the things that we like. We don't generally badmouth other, like, actors, you know, other films, TV series, because something that we don't like is potentially something that someone absolutely loves. And I'm sure there's things that we love that people out there absolutely hate as well. And I just think we try and be as positive as we can about kind of movies and film.
Yeah, get past the divide. I mean, there, if there's going to be a, like, five more sequels of a popular franchise, there's no hurry. You might as well wait till... I always try to wait till the franchise is mostly concluded, so that way I don't have to update the ranking anytime soon. And there's no... Generally, it's better to revisit it when the hype is worn down, when people are finally getting caught up on it.
See, that's a little bit like when a big TV show's on for me. I think this would mean...
Exactly. They... We just got into the show Suits that's on USA Network, and that's a good divide.
But it's like, I rather wait until all the episodes have been on and then sit and binge watch them.
I'm the same way, because I notice everyone's first two lovely takes, you know, they were already going to rank it a 9 out of 10 the minute it came out anyway. But then you get to the, yeah, the ones who are, I'm not feeling it yet, even though there's five episodes that dropped. And it's like, well, see, you should wait.
it's very rare with any TV show where the first two or three episodes are your favorite episodes.
Exactly. So rare.
Like Breaking Bad, and, you know, Breaking Bad, like, for, as an example, the first series wasn't a particularly big hit, was it? And it's probably not everyone's favorite episode.
Absolutely. That's what I hate too, is when people do the whole, oh, you know, just, you know, maybe you're just not that big a fan. It's like, or maybe I just like it, but I don't love it as much as you do.
Certain things, though. So Liam likes to wait and binge watch.
I do too. Yeah,
I binge watch certain things, but the certain shows, I think if you're going to be on social media, if you're going to be on Twitter and Instagram and anything else,
yes, don't be that dick who spoils it.
Yeah, but the thing, I think you have to. I think certainly with the Star Wars stuff.
Oh yeah.
If you don't watch it, if you don't watch it within 24 hours, it's probably going to get spoiled for you, unless you avoid. Absolutely.
Yeah, Game of Thrones and Walking Dead, I knew we were doing that, and it was like, oh, dear.
Walking Dead was like, I used to work with someone who used to come in and talk about Walking Dead, and you're like, I haven't...
Did you see last night? Oh, yeah, don't worry, I'm going to say it anyway.
Did you see so-and-so died? You're like, well, that's pointless now, isn't it?
Yeah. So, bastard.
one of the things I wanted to ask you about is, we just did an episode recently, which we recorded and we're going to put out next week, and it was about, we wanted an animation week, and I picked The Simpsons, but I purposely went with The Simpsons. Nice. Went with The Simpsons movie, and what we discussed on the episode was The Simpsons, certainly when we were kids, was the biggest thing on TV. It was the biggest thing that
it
came
was an up. International hit. Yeah,
yeah.
And in the UK it doesn't seem to be as talked about as much, and in Toy
really?
Store
what about, you know, Pixar or Wallace and Gromit?
Kind of gone out of the kind of sort of public consciousness, really.
It's still here because it's all on the Disney Channel now, the Disney. the Disney app. But what we were saying is, late 90s, early noughties, it was, everyone spoke about Simpsons. And this is in the UK, about an American animation series. But what we were saying is, it's just sort of slipped out of fashion here. Because even with me and Dave, I haven't watched any of the new series of Simpsons.
Me neither. I've stopped watching it since probably around 2009. I was just like, okay, it's too much.
Probably the same as us.
Because that's what we said. One of the questions we asked was, did the Simpsons movie actually bookend an end of an era? And I think we sort of put it about the same time, that it just sort of... So, but is it still a big thing in America, The Simpsons?
It's basically... It's still on, but a lot of people kind of have just gone off the boat. And it's just kind of one of those where you just kind of just say, hey, you know, whatever happens, happens. You know, there's an audience for everything now. I'm still seeing weird trends, like people who still... have cut the cord and only have streaming, and then bitch that, hey, I can't find anything good on streaming. And then you see other people who still watch basically whatever's on the local TV, and that's how they get introduced to some modified for regular TV cable shows that are edgy, you know, and they bleep out the language and everything and remove anything that's a little too gory, you know.
So we'd love to get your kind of opinion then on some British shows.
Oh, British! I got some good ones. And this will be this will be eye-opening to me too, because once again, there's plenty of stuff that's on the air for years, but it's hard to find a direct fan unless they're like a professional critic or TV site, you know what I mean? And this is going to also be interesting, because it kind of I would see this even with regular shows every once in a while. I was like, yeah, I've heard of this, but who watches it?
So you know, go on then. You give us one of yours, and then...
This is good that we're doing this, because like, I even have done this with other movies and shows that are actually still big, but they're in totally different countries. Like, there's this U.S. show called The Pretender that was like a mix of X-Files meets The Fugitive. It was a cool sci-fi / spy show. 4 seasons. It's big in Italy. Not even syndicated here anymore. But I'm just like, how did that work? How did that happen? What? But yeah, no, I got some good ones here. Hopefully they're to your liking, but they're from all eras and everything. So I'm going to start with one that was not big when it first aired there, but now is like legendary. And that is none other than Monty Python.
Oh,
yes.
every Brit hated it. They're like, this is bollocks. This is not funny. And now tables have turned.
It was divisive here, because it was so, the word is silly, isn't it? Such a silly show, but I love silly. So for me, Monty Python was on sort of when I was a kid.
It was all the rage, but yeah.
See, I think... where Monty Python is an issue in England is, see, in Britain we're obsessed with class. Is this is, you know, a Monty Python touch that, like, it, you know, a lot of the comedians came from quite were very well educated, so it sort of put a lot of people off. But they do actually have a really good, because obviously there's the famous, it wasn't a Monty Python one, but the guys from Monty Python with the two Ronnies did that sketch. This was pre-Monty Python, where it was like, yeah, I'm upper class and I look down on him, I'm American class and look down on him. So
you might have to watch that on YouTube.
Yeah, look for...
Stop that, that's silly.
Have you seen it?
Well, yeah, It's a great show, but I'm joking. I'm saying stop that. That's silly.
Oh, so it's a weird one because I wasn't the biggest fan of Monty Python growing up. I knew it was there. It was the films that I got into later, but we were never really on in our household growing up. And I think that it was that class thing. It didn't quite transfer, because we're from quite a working class family in Liverpool, so this is what I'm saying, it's completely
laughing, you can't be doing it.
Yeah, it's a bit like, well, but
I think we are, because of Fawlty Towers and John.
Oh, you think that's it?
I think that probably brought me around to, I used to watch the series, but as you say, the films obviously then take it to the next
the
next level.
Oh, I think yes.
That's where I got into it. The films are absolutely genius, and it's just, you know, they're so quotable as well.
The recent thing that's been funny is John Cleese was complaining that Monty Python TV show is not the BBC anymore.
Yes.
But the BBC sold the rights to Netflix.
Really?
It's on Netflix. So John Cleese had a post out on Twitter complaining, and everyone instantly replied and said,
he has so much free time. Cancel culture and everything. It's like, dude,
he's gone a bit grouchy.
We have the equivalent of sort of Fox News here is a channel called GB News.
Oh, it's awful.
And I think John Cleese has sort of guest spots on that. He's gone that kind.
He was a big advocate for Brexit at one point, I seem to remember, even though he doesn't actually, I don't think he even lives here anymore.
Probably not, no. So Monty Python's an excellent one. What else have you got for us?
No, good to hear. But yeah, it can be a little time-consuming, I guess, because it's just eye-opening to just say, you just kind of wish people would just realize, hey, you have this, but we didn't always have that. You know, it just... you can't expect everybody to just agree on the same thing, or, but I'm even seeing people talk smack about stuff that was so many years ago. It's like, well, this is how they did things back then.
Yeah. It's a completely different pace as well.
Such a different pace nowadays. Yeah.
Yeah.
How many are also big on another John Cleese program, All Fawlty Towers? I'm amazed it was only two seasons. I swear it was on for years, but that's just because PBS and other local stations would air repeats nonstop.
Yeah, I think there's only 12 episodes.
12 episodes, yeah.
12 episodes, see?
And everyone forgets it was the girl that was the co-writer on it all. It was always a Connie... John Cleese gets credit, but it was the girl who played the receptionist or something.
Well, they were married at the time.
Yeah, there was Chef, which would be on with Linny Harry. Saw a bunch of that.
Basil Fawlty is an absolute.
I think the scary thing is, I imagine you watch Basil Fawlty and think that character is over the top and can't be real. I think we've met people like that. Yeah. I think there is people that behave.
Yeah.
In that way.
Especially
in that industry as well.
He's very British as well.
How British can you be? Yeah.
I think Basil himself was based on a hotel manager they met, wasn't it? When they were on tour. He literally based it off a real person.
But
him and Connie Booth were
But she co-wrote it all, and she doesn't get the credit. And then people always say, was John Cleese. She co-wrote it.
But the thing as well, if you watch it, you see mistakes in it because it was filmed live, wasn't it? You know, the same way sort of a lot of American shows, Cheers and Frasier and stuff, are filmed in front of like a live
audience. I've seen that with a lot of shows. It seems like whoever pitches it somehow doesn't get the creation credit. And it's like, well, was it whoever produced it and created got the creator credit? What's going on here?
How do you feel about kind of just the volume when it comes to American shows? So, you know, Fawlty Towers is a classic because
it's 12 episodes.
We think our version of things like The Office and some of those other shows, they're only a couple of series. Our seasons aren't like 20-odd episodes. They're very, very short over here. Mm-hmm. What's your take on the just sheer volume of what?
I think that's just it. Everyone's slowly reining in from just the oversaturation kind of now. Because it's just so much. It's like, what do I keep up with? What do I watch tonight? Because some people want to, like you say, just do one at a time as opposed to watch the whole thing. And then you get other ones who just want something that's, I don't know, they're just not in a deep thinking mode because they're exhausted from work. They just want something that's instant laughs. So I think everybody's their own worst enemy kind of at this point. But that is a good point on who would have expected there to be like a gazillion other foreign versions of The Office after Ricky Gervais's brilliant TV show brought it. And I love hearing the various podcasts that talk about it because so many people are like, hey, everyone in LA knew what it was about because it was on the remake train. But most people had not seen it. It wasn't broadcasting anywhere or on disc yet.
I prefer the American version of The Office, if I'm honest. Like, don't get me wrong, the English version is great, and but the US Office is probably one of my favorite TV shows of all time because after season two, it goes so much further.
It goes everywhere.
And I think it's absolute genius, and it's a little bit warmer than the UK Office as well, as in it's not quite as cruel. It's that sentiment. We've spoken about this before. I love comedy that's got real heartfelt sentiment in there as well. And I think there's really moments of The Office.
Yeah, you got to have at least one of these guys be likable before they, you know, troll everybody or, you know.
This is the bit, though, where I say I've never seen it.
No, that's fine. But I noticed that, too. Have you ever noticed there's just so many people who do the whole, oh, where have you been? It's like, dude, there's only a trillion TV shows on this fucking planet.
Don't get me wrong.
And truth be told, they haven't seen any of the classics from the last 2 years. I am so tired. I'll answer your question with a question. How sick are you now of the people acting like, oh, Doctor Who, Stranger Things, it's the next best thing? I'm like, well, be sure to count out all the other 20 other amazing shows of all time from the last 5 years.
Yeah, people jump on trends, don't they? And then
they act like nothing else exists anymore. And it's like, yeah no, it's just not how this works.
they do feel like there's a lot of kind of ownership of stuff, isn't there? And especially sort of Stranger Things. I don't think not many people, I don't think, watch the first series as much as word of mouth, I think.
I didn't finish the second series. I got a bit bored of Stranger Things.
Oh, yeah, I'm not a fan at all, but I can't deny that there's a giant audience for it when people are dressing up as the characters, they're spoofing it on Saturday Night Live. It's out there, and that's where I say, hey, enjoy what you like. If you don't like it, don't watch it. And I don't like it, so don't watch it. But that's how it is with just anything else. Like, I find that we also take the endings to certain shows really hard, especially if it just is undeserved. Like, Game of Thrones was 8 years of my life I'll never get back. So I'm just like, yeah, bloody awful. Well, why did they end it that way? Why did they think? I was already unengaged second to last two seasons, but then when it just ends suddenly, and even the creator's like, oh, I didn't intend it that way. It's like, well, you signed off on it, asshole.
And this is where we differ, because we mean that I didn't mind where Game of Thrones ended, because I think
that's fine. I'm too tired of people starting arguments. You have a disagreement. Well, it doesn't have to be a disagreement. He likes it, you don't. Buzz off.
I think that there are a lot of mistakes in the last, and I think for me it was Daenerys going mad was too quick, if that makes sense.
Well, it was a short. Yeah, we're complaining about things being too long, but it was only a 6-episode.
Yeah,
but finale, because I think the rumors are they'd signed up. Well, I don't think it was rumors. I think it was well known they'd signed up to do a Star Wars movie.
Yeah, which obviously
didn't pan out. But
oh yeah,
it did feel rushed. But I'm with you. You know, there's people that probably really enjoy that end, and there's people that are always going to hate it. But what I don't like is the people who hate it trying to convince other people you should hate it too.
And same thing with the ones who like it. I don't understand why no one likes it. Well, look at reviews. There's a gazillion of them out there. Well, you can see what they are and figure out why you do or don't like it. Like, I just went through the new Battlestar Galactica again. I think it's a perfect ending. But a lot of people thought it was too happy for that grim show, or they wanted some more bloodshed. And I was like, meh, I think I'm good. I think this wraps it all up. Everyone got a send-off. Everybody went for some more tragedy. I'm cool with it. But it wasn't enough for some people. So
the most recent one's probably Ted Lasso.
Oh, yeah. People were divisive over Ted Lasso. Some people, it sounded like they had been watching it, but missing the point all along. Where's the sports?
Yes.
It's like, it's not a sports show. It has sports in it. That doesn't make it a sports show necessarily. We can't have nice things, can we? this has been very electrifying, because you get this. I used to have a coworker who hated the British Office, and I was like, well, apples and oranges, buddy. That such couldn't be more different, you know. And that's inevitable too. There's going to be someone who likes the US one but hates the UK one, and vice versa. They love the UK one but could never get into the US one, found to be too much, you know. It's inevitable. I mean, there's a version of your UK show Accused over here, and I saw the original Accused. I wasn't as grabbed by it, but I love the acting on it. And I'm interested to see what they do here. Same thing with Homeland. I've been meaning to see the original Israeli version, you know, called Prisoners of War.
Someone's told me about that. It's meant to be, like, really good. I've never seen the Israeli version.
Yeah.
So one of the things we're going to be doing on the podcast is, have you ever seen State of Play?
Yes, but both the movie version and the TV show version. And
I think that's an example there where the American version, it just doesn't quite live up to.
I actually love the movie, but I couldn't get into the show.
Oh, right. Are you the opposite?
No, but it's all good. You know, like, it's impossible for it to all click with everybody. I mean, there's plenty of, I mean, I'm that way with some of these other TV shows they revitalized. Like, there's a new version of The Equalizer, like a TV show version. And I'm like, yeah, it's okay in an NCIS way, but it's not edgy like the Edward Woodward show. And I love the Denzel movies, but that's a different story.
Edward Woodward standing in front of a Porsche in an entry backlit is
freaking us out. Yeah.
When I was a kid, you knew you were meant to be in bed at that time because it was on really late.
That synthwave music. Yeah.
That's such a, and the thing was, you never drove a Porsche in the series. I never got it.
Was it only ever in the trailers?
Yeah. No,
it was just to have the oh shit look. And
yeah.
But they've done that with other shows too, where they have completely missed the point. Like, they did a movie version of the A-Team, and I was like, see, but it's not campy. It's not done with any love. It's just big and loud and dumb.
just with you talking about Equalizer being on late at night, I think one of the things my kids don't understand, but I don't think Americans understand, is when me and Liam were sort of 15, 16, we only had 4 TV channels.
Yeah.
So many people are spoiled.
Satellites. So yeah.
Mm-hmm.
4 channels, that was it.
Hell, they redid MacGyver, and I'm just like, the whole point of MacGyver is he's like Indiana Jones, but he's a gadget man. Like, he's his own personal Q from James Bond. And they decided, oh, we'll do that, but he's going to be carrying guns and everything. I'm like, oh, you're missing the point of MacGyver. But on its own.
That's like giving the A-Team a tank at the start.
Oh, exactly. Yeah. It's not that it's so different so much as it is, why did you even do another twist on it? Like, it's just so out there.
So what other British shows do you enjoy, or what British shows even do you not like?
Downton Abbey, I can tell you, is still big here.
Yeah. Not a big fan.
No, not a big fan.
That's fine.
It's huge, massive.
But again,
it's not going to make my top 20. But just the acting and pacing, and the tone just really make you feel good, and otherwise very serious.
It's that class thing for us, because I don't think it's like I said, Liverpool is a little bit of a weird place.
It's too close to home.
We don't see ourselves as English or British. We're a little bit standalone. So
that's fine, dude. I mean, you were talking cartoons earlier. Like, I can't watch King of the Hill because I know too many idiots like that in real life.
Oh, I love King of the Hill.
Well, and that's cool. But I live in Texas, so I'm not offended. It's basically a documentary, so I don't find it very entertaining. You know what I mean?
Well, you see, here's one way you can, because I've never met a single person. I'm a big fan of the American TV show Friday Night Lights.
Oh, there you go. Yeah, I still need to watch it. It's been a mind to watch this.
Because it's like, I don't know how I managed to find it over here, because it's about small town Texas college, high school.
It's a big universal show, yeah.
Yeah, and I just think it's one of the best things that's come out of American TV in a long time. And I was just hoping you may have seen it, because I've yet to meet anyone who's ever watched it.
It's been on my to watch for a while, but it is very huge here, and it's on almost all the streaming platforms: Hulu, Peacock, Netflix. It's about everybody's picked it up, so that might be also why it's kind of traveled around a bunch. But no, that was cool to know, because like, I see other people who act like instantly because something represents a certain country, everybody's into it. And it's like, that's not true at all. There's going to be plenty of Americans or British guys who couldn't get into Ted Lasso. You know, it's a uniting kind of show, but that doesn't mean anything. I mean, there's plenty of shows that, again, have a European or Japanese character, but they don't give a shit. I'm just like, yeah, so.
We'll return after these messages.
The Jacked Up Review Show podcast is honored to be part of the Blind Knowledge Podcast Network. Join anytime, talk the talk, and enjoy yourselves. There's something enlightening for everyone with this crowd of cool cats. Check them out.
Hey, it's Brent Pope, the host of Breakfast with Brent Pope. You've seen me on some of your favorite TV shows saying things like, "Give it up, Jimmy. You got to sink this putt to win." On Breakfast with Brent Pope, I sit down with guests from the entertainment world and we do it all over breakfast. Or should I say Breakfast? Every week on Breakfast, you get inside Hollywood info and tips, great breakfast recs and foodie debates. Most of all, you get the most delightful 30 minutes of your week. So dig in. It's Breakfast time. Listen at Breakfast.com, Apple Podcasts, or wherever fine podcasts are found.
Do you ever find yourself thinking about who would win in a fight between Goku and Superman? Hi, I'm James Gavsey, and on the Who Would Win show, me and my co-host Ray ignore anything important happening in the outside world and debate fictional battles between characters from comics, movies, and video games.
We got a new show every week, and almost always am I the winner.
Yeah, not true, Ray.
In the past, we've discussed such matches as Captain America versus Darth Vader, Solid Snake versus the Iron Giant, classic matchups like RoboCop versus Terminator, and even the Muppets versus Sesame Street.
That one was crazy. So if you're a fan of geek culture and love a spirited debate, check out the Who Would Win show wherever you get your podcasts, or check us out at whowouldwinshow.com.
Simon Cockle is a big, fun movie critic pal of mine who I've had on a few times, and he can't stand Love Actually. He's like, see, this stereotypes and makes people think this is what us British people are like. I was like, well, I never saw it that way, but okay, well. If it offended you, I get it. what do you make of that when you think people are taking a movie way too seriously and you're like, I don't think they meant any harm?
Yeah, I think that definitely happens here.
Too much.
Yeah, probably too much. It's I think people like Ted Lasso is the perfect example, isn't it? Like I say, it's the end was quite divisive, but It was all about kind of like, it was meant to be a happy show, wasn't it?
Yeah, the beginning was caught me off guard a bit, but yeah. I was still just down for the count and just happy to just watch what was going on. But I guess I'm just a more slower, laid back kind of guy. And if I know I'm in for a bizarre ride, I go for it. But
this is probably where me and Liam are quite different, though, because my bar is really low.
Well, so is mine. I get so annoyed when I just see so many people their fandom is wrecking the movie or show for me. And it's not that they're urchins or anything so much as it is like, dude, just chill. It's a work of fiction, you know?
See, we have this about Star Wars. I've not been a big fan of the Star Wars TV Disney shows. I think Mandalorian first series was terrible. Boba Fett is like one of the worst.
I'm attacking Liam. I just think
Boba Fett was the best piece of the junk ever made. I think the Obi-Wan Kenobi one was really disappointing.
We just said we don't slag off TV shows, and there you are.
But it's like...
But well, again, no, just get it out. There's no wrong answer. That's the other thing, too.
I feel like people get so
I can't
bland.
Stand the new Star Wars movies, so I'm big on the shows. But don't get me wrong. The other thing is, I see people ranking them all to the movies. I'm like, no. Whole different format. You know, like, these shows would not... Like, I'm watching Ahsoka now, and I'm like, it's not very cinematic like the other ones. You're not going to know what's going on unless... You know, you've watched the other cartoon shows.
Yeah, because you just said you've got to watch the last series of Rebels, haven't you?
You do, because it literally is almost Rebels continuation of that.
Pretty much.
The Last Jedi, though, I think, got so... I don't know if the word's violent, but it felt like if you loved... I personally didn't like it, but it felt like if you loved it, it was like, you need to die. But if you hated it, then people went, I think you should die. It got that vicious. Yeah. Vicious is the word.
I think the fandom got
vicious about it.
I liked it.
There was some of that, yeah.
Because I thought it was quite a different take on the whole idea of the Force is not, like, familiar.
People are trying to rewrite the rules now that they agree or disagree with it.
You do.
It's one of my top three all-time worst films.
Really?
Yeah, it really is.
No, I think it's a great film.
It's bad, but it's not as bad as The Force Awakens, where you're just like, oh, let's have another Death Star. Let's have this. Let's have that.
Do you know what is interesting though is like, because obviously when you made the prequels, we were a bit older.
Yeah,
and we went and saw them. You know,
they got great reviews at the time, but you would never know it now, given how the internet wants to just, you know, toss it in the trash.
Empire magazine gave Attack of the Clones a 5-star review when it came out.
Right, dude, and. My local Dallas paper gave Revenge of the Sith an A-. They were like, hey, there's not enough Yoda, but there's enough grit and everything. It's the best since Empire. I'm like, that's high praise.
But it was weird because I think when you all came out for me, I thought, no, they're all the prequels. I thought, no, they're not very good. I didn't like them. But I went back and watched them all about 5 years ago. And forget Attack of the Clones because that's just pointless. But the other two, the Clone Wars and the, what's the last one?
Oh, you mean Phantom Menace and...
Yeah, ignore Phantom Menace. And I thought they've aged really well. I think I enjoyed them more now than I did when I watched them.
I think because with the...
I promise we'll get you on the giant saga ranking because that's just it too. I mean... Star Wars fans don't want to admit this. There's going to be ones who don't even like the older movies just because, I don't know, they just don't like the acting or whatever. And it's just like, it's like Star Trek, but they don't want to admit it. They're just like, no, Star Trek is trivial and everything. It was like, well, here's the thing. Whatever era you were introduced determined what you liked. But it is funny how other stuff that was inspired by it or inspired Star Wars, but got made because Star Wars was a hit, you know. That also got laughed off. Buck Rogers is a popular show, but critics hated it. Same thing with John Carter. It was highly anticipated, didn't make much money. Same thing with Flash Gordon. It's kind of liked, but in a trashy way. You know, it's interesting how it's the same thing, a space opera, but it's just somehow with all these Shakespearean actors and larger than life visual effects, there's always going to be someone who's like, yeah, I don't get that. Why is that popular?
Because if you actually break the original trilogy down, the script is awful.
It shouldn't work at all. But
the dialogue is awful.
I had a good wife.
Exactly, but it's because it deals with those universal themes that just connect with us. Like I think you're right. It's Shakespeare. It's all about. It's the same issues we've been watching in a play for 400 years.
Right.
It's about revenge. It's about your dad.
I think we're to that point, though, too. Like, if anything, Star Wars introduced me to the whole fact that nothing has to be 100% working. You can still have a good movie with a miscast lead. You can still have a solid movie with poorly shot, you know, gory, you know, chills or action scenes. You know, it didn't deliver the content, but it delivered the substance, you know.
And you can flip that as well, is you can have an average movie, but with a great performance in it, which carries it for you as well. Do you know what I mean? You can see there are certain films you'd watch because it's like, say, Tom Hanks. I recently watched.
Absolutely.
It. You know what I mean? Some of his films is like, he just carries anything he's in. Might not be the greatest film, but don't care. It's Tom Hanks.
I think you touched upon photo cam. I think sometimes it's the experience, though, isn't it?
We were so distracted by it, but yeah, now we're seeing people who don't care for popular movies like Forrest Gump or Seven or even Silence of the Lambs, and I'm like, well, you know, there's something for everybody. Like, even the best movie of all time is gonna have, you know, at least 5 negative reviews. There's gonna be people who found Saving Private Ryan too gory or too overlong. There's gonna be people who don't understand like why The Greatest Dictator of All Time is Charlie Chaplin's best movie. Or, you know, I'm not big on Christopher Nolan's latest movies. I'm just like, okay, the dude's just so full of himself and arrogant. I'll just stick with Inception and Insomnia and Memento, and that's it.
I do love Inception. Do you think a lot of it to do, though, is...
We just got to warm up to stuff after a while. Like, I don't want to see Barbie because it's a toy commercial. And like, satire or not, it's a toy commercial.
We've both seen it.
Oh, okay.
I fully, it wasn't what I was expecting. I got more from it, from pop culture, just the references alone.
Yeah, that's good, because I have not cared for Gerwig's earlier movies, but that's just it too. I'm going based on who's the helmsman, you know what I mean? Like Neil Blomkamp is kind of a cult international sci-fi talent throughout, you know, the world. But if you weren't big on District 9 or Elysium, you're probably not going to see anything else he's done, like this upcoming Gran Turismo. So it's interesting how the whole you're as good as your last movie may not always apply, but it does to some extent kind of apply. You know what I mean?
Do you think one of the problems is, so you mentioned Seven then. When Seven came out, I don't think we'd ever seen anything like it on the cinema. That dark, that kind of...
That kind, now it's second nature. Now everyone's got a CSI kind of show, minus the maturity.
Revisit things like Seven, go, oh, it was okay, but that's because they've probably seen so many things very, very similar to it. That if you're only watching Seven for the first time now, it won't feel the same way it probably does to us three when we certainly...
Oh, absolutely. We... Different era, inevitably. And sometimes I feel like, you know, like there was this one Japanese art house movie about a Yakuza boss who's slowly dying. I just knew I just wasn't going to get into it. So I had the commentary with the film historian playing while I was watching the subtitle movie. That made a big difference compared to just me watching and looking at my watch. You know, there are times where you do need another reference point, another film history book, which is practically all I read growing up. Oh, this movie changed the world, yada yada. And it's like, oh, interesting. Okay.
Well, one question I had, Cam. Something we were talking before is, how do you feel as an American when all these British actors come over to America?
They took our jobs. No, I'm just kidding. It's fine.
And so, but is it like, do you hear their accents and go, that's a terrible accent. That's an awful accent. Because whenever we hear an American actor do a British accent, it's like, oh, that's terrible. How is
I
it?
I think they mostly own it. The New Zealand guys and Australian guys are obviously the kings of it. Guy Pearce, Russell Crowe. I do legit like respect Cumberbatch because he can do anything at this point. You know, he's played so many historical figures for ITV and the BBC, as well as, you know, the Marvel guy. He's probably one of the few superhero movies I'll actually watch is Doctor Strange. But then there's all these other great, you know, ensemble pieces he's a part of. He's a good voice actor and everything. But every once in a while, he will try to do a Boston accent or something. And you're like, it's just sticking out a little bit. Whatever take you used, it's not as bad as some of the other ones. Like Sam Worthington, you know, is like the Avatar guy. His career isn't exactly... He is just the very bizarre career altogether. But hey, he just can't hide his accent. So it does make you wonder how much of it is the rehearsal versus what take they used versus what that, whatever. But I think my main issue is people will invest in an actor, but not give them any good material. Like, I take it Luther is a very popular show there.
Yeah.
But I for a while, I wasn't really excited about the next Idris Elba movie because they just kept putting him in just stuff that was not worthy of anyone's talent. You know what I mean?
Well, that's one of the examples we were talking about, because obviously...
Same thing with Thandie Newton and Anthony Hopkins. You would see them in a project and you're like, but you wasted a good performance on an awful movie, you know?
But then you think, is that the people who make the stuff, or is that the actor agreeing to do it as well sometimes?
Yeah, because there are certain people, because they're in so many just Oscar bait and overhyped or just what just sounds awful, just movies. Like I see that with Oscar Isaac, Jessica Chastain, great actors. I'm not going to watch every movie they do because I've been let down so many times where I'm like, that's a great performance. This is a garbage movie. You know?
I think if you look at someone like Michael Caine's film.
Oh, well, yeah. If you want to get into the people who do anything. Yeah. Great actor, but man.
I think the Jaws movie did. I think he said it paid for his villa in Spain or something.
Yeah, that was so funny. The movie was not good. The mansion it bought was. So I'm like, yeah, you go, you.
I think the issue we find is when Americans try and do a British accent, there's no such thing as a British accent because we've got so many regional.
Yeah. Kind of like Southern accents. They always like to do the whole "Howdy, y'all." I'm like, what?
Yeah, yeah. That's, if we were doing an American accent, that's what I would do, or a Brooklyn accent.
It's just so ingrained. There's people who think if you come to Miami or Dallas, everybody is dressed like a CSI or person on Dallas, and it's like, well, that's just pop culture happens, man. But
Do you think we all wear top hats and have canes?
I mean, Hugh Jackman has done a few different accents, and what I find funny is how he's kind of struggled to find as big a prominent movie, let alone another franchise outside of X-Men or Les Mis, and you're like, well, and but I think this is it too. People like to clamor to stuff. You just need to just let it kind of wind down after a while. It's like, if you don't like it, no one is forcing you to like this, you know? If you don't like Gladiator, that's okay. If you don't like Braveheart, that's okay. If you do like it, that's okay. It's just everybody feels like they have to be validated. It's like, just like it or don't. Shit.
Yeah, I think that's the influence of social media. No one's
absolutely half the stuff anymore. That's on
like, you're either with me or you're not, and it's like, well. It doesn't matter. It's like I
can't stand that either. It's like, if you hate this, you're my own worst enemy. It's like, stop. That's not even funny. That's just lame. It's just instigating arguments. And half the stuff in the top, top 250 in IMDb are all movies that flopped at the time. We're not liked, you know, Wizard of Oz, It's a Wonderful Life, Fight Club, Blade Runner. And people go, I don't see how anyone could hate those. I'm like, well, look at the reviews. People were unimpressed back in the day. Hellraiser was not well liked, but nowadays it's kind of beloved by many sci-fi horror fans. But don't get me wrong, I still will meet people who like all these unwatchable, ungodly, just demon possession and paranormal movies. I'm like, you guys are such fraidy cats. Those are not scary. And yet they can't do any Monkey's Paw or other fun psychological thrillers. And I'm just like, okay, well, whatever floats your boat, but don't tell me that's scary when it's all computer graphics or based on your own personal fears and not the hack filmmaker. I'm sorry, I'm going on a tangent, but I just find it interesting how half the time you wonder if they're reacting to the movie or if they're reacting to their own 2 feet, you know, twitching.
No, I know what you're saying. Just another one, Cam, because I'm a big fan of this one, is I'd like to get your take on it. The original Roseanne, did you ever see that or watch that? What was
the
your
original
Roseanne?
Oh yeah, yeah. It's very big here. I think not so much now because she's just not a nice person in real life. Long story short,
But I think what was fascinating growing up when we were kids is we didn't get to see that poor working class American family on TV.
Yeah, there was a voice for everybody growing up, but at the same time, you didn't really know how much the person was playing themselves, if they were even a good actor or actress. And I think that's another thing. You were talking about Star Wars earlier. I'm kind of looking forward to the upcoming Frasier revival because it's the same crew and everything, but I'm not as big on some of the other sitcoms they brought back. Will and Grace, I thought they did good, but I was just like, there was other ones where I was just like, see, the laugh track is so forced here. The person is just showing their age. They're just not funny anymore.
So the thing with Frasier coming back is, have you ever seen Only Fools and Horses?
This is about the sixth podcaster I've had on who has talked about it, and they mentioned it. I have meant to watch it. Basically, that's another one that I hear is very divisive. Like, some people will be like, oh, what are you talking about? That's not funny. And other people will be like, oh, you just don't get it. It's hysterical.
It's a British classic, but Nicholas Lyndhurst, who's one of the main stars of that, is going to be... I think there'll be more... a bigger audience in the UK for the new Frasier probably than... I think anywhere in the world, because I think everyone
it's loves just it. Comfort food. People like witty stuff where family members are kind of infighting, playing pranks on each other. But no, that is so true. That there is, you never know where it's going to land, really. So you just, but you take all the punches, you take all the reception, and you milk it. But
you see, well, I had a little bit of reservation about the new Frasier because I watched the first reboot of the Sex and the City, because it was awful because it felt like it was written by, I said to Dave, I said it felt like it was written by a 60-year-old white man who's too con understand
so bitter up. Yeah.
And it was like, these young black people, who dare they, these women, and it was so not what Sex and the City was first time round. And I'm just a bit worried because I don't know Kelsey Grammer. I don't know what the... Did I hear he was a Trump supporter and things like
he
that?
He is, but he's just an old school Republican. But I think he's pretty well... He's a pretty cool professional behind the scenes compared to the other guys who you're just like, whoa, you're just a dick. You know, like...
I think Feige is in good hands.
It's in good hands. Do you know 24 is pretty big over there?
Yeah, 24 was big over here.
Especially because it even came over to London.
Yeah.
Well, 24 got picked up by the BBC, so 24 used to be on BBC Two.
Non-stop, along with Doctor Who.
And... American TV show was never really quite on the rare, BBC. It was very rare. So 24 was pretty big here.
Well, I said to you, I think when 24 came out over here, it was the first time... There was a shift from watching TV, watching it once a week, to binge watching.
And you got
to
watch every single one. And
I think 24 was the watershed moment. That was the first TV show I remember going, I want to go and get the DVD and watch the whole series. That was like...
Absolutely.
Yeah, you know, like that was a monumental time in TV history. It gets overlooked a little bit now, if I'm honest. But yeah, no, 24... We're a big Kiefer Sutherland fans here anyway, aren't we?
Yeah, he's tall with his band.
Great actor. Yep.
Yeah.
What do you also think about how it kind of encouraged people to kind of split the bill, make international productions, you know, like Rome, which was both a BBC and an HBO, you know?
Well, we've split also got Band of Brothers as well.
Band of Brothers, yep.
Doing the BBC, put a bit of money in that as well. Then
ITV, which is owned by Fox, decided, hey, we got to get on the 24 bandwagon. Let's come up with a show called Spooks, which is very big, but it's very hard for me to find a bunch of fans of.
So I'm watching that right now.
Are you really? Okay, very awesome. It's so weird on Hulu. You can tell which versions are the US versions versus UK versions, and it makes me wonder, who did someone lose one of the main tapes? Because there are certain cuts that they make for language and nudity. Overseas here, and you can always tell because the logo is different. You know, it's MI5 versus Spooks. You know,
yeah, Spooks for some reason was just one of those shows that kind of passed me by.
It's kind of your guys' Mission Impossible in a way. Like, adults watch it, but kids don't watch it.
Yeah, I'm trying to think about what.
But Peter First, dynamite actor.
Yeah. It's I'm trying to think of a show that it's very similar to in America. 2024 is probably the closest one, but it's
Strike Back. There's another one.
Strike Back, yeah, yeah. There's loads of those crossovers.
Soldier was another one that introduced the world of Peter Wingfield before he made Highlander.
Well, isn't the new series of Highlander that the Amazon Amazon picked up Highlander or?
There was Outlander.
Outlander, that's what I'm thinking of. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, that was a star show, and I think they're continuing that. I gotta ask you guys about Prime Suspect. That was like the queen of procedurals. But before we had, you know, we Americans got stuff, you know, years later, like NYPD Blue and Homicide: Life on the Street and all the Law and Orders. But you guys, I mean. In fact, I even like your guys' version of Law & Order UK. I just perfectly cast. I love the old school approach. Show the arrest, show the legal jurisdiction, then show the court case and keep everyone in suspense. And then you have all these other geek favorite actors like Freema Agyeman and Jamie Bamber as part of the cast. But, I mean, Prime Suspect, you could pretty much only get that like from PBS book clubs. You know, like that was not everywhere. It was so gritty and it introduced the world to Helen Mirren. Yeah,
she's an absolute genius. Did you ever get Cracker over in the UK?
That was another one. I still need to watch the DVDs, and I got so angry at myself. Rest in peace, Rob Coltrane. But yeah, Rob Coltrane's pretty well liked for Harry Potter and James Bond. But yeah, I mean, In fact, I see 24 creator Howard Gordon even say, like, Cracker and Prime Suspect are his, like, two main bread and butters. Like, that's what inspires him to make a gritty character piece. And I think people just learn so much from British TV, not only just how things are done and what have you, but also just slower burn. Because you see other people try to do a slow-moving show, and it doesn't take off. It's just they're too full of themselves, you know?
So to put you on the spot then for probably...
Oh, shit.
If you could only pay for one streamer, and that streamer either had British TV or American TV, which streamer would you actually pay for?
Do they have Hulu there in the UK?
No, Hulu's on... we get through Disney Plus.
Okay, then we'll probably do Disney Plus, but I'm only going to watch all the awesome like British TV shows on there.
Good answer.
I don't want any of the cartoons and everything, but yeah, all the other international, Italian, British, American, even Swedish and South Korean shows, they're all going to be on there, and I'm going to watch them. And like, don't get me wrong, Amazon has some good stuff too. I've been getting into a lot of Icelandic and Nordic noir, they call it, but I mean, it is a tough toss up because there just are just so many shows that get discontinued by certain platforms. I know Netflix is kind of just thrown in the towel half the time these days. It's like people want to hate watch their shows now, to where I'm like, just cancel them, send a message. Lincoln Lawyer is a good show, but that's a needle in a haystack, you know.
Well, I'm a big Michael Connelly fan, so
sweet.
So I've read all the Bosch books.
We'll get you on another special on those, I promise.
Connelly books. But I really liked Bosch. You weren't a big fan of Bosch, were you?
I watched about maybe three series and kind of faded away. Every week got very similar to me.
I thought Titus Welliver was brilliant.
Oh, I think him as an actor is amazing.
But as
a series, it was very formulaic.
No, it's fine. My sister loves all those other crime shows and she couldn't get into it, you know. And
my issue with Bosch is he's so good, he makes everyone else look like a very
amateur hour.
Yeah. But I think... So
Liam is a fan, you, Dave, are not a fan, but that's okay. There is no right answer. I see so many people that do the whole, that's just wrong. I'm like, or they'll do best show of all time ever. I'm like, well, until that last season, like, I love every season of Oz, but some people hate the last three seasons. I like Sopranos, but I'm going to side with the whole thing that ending was bollocks. It was just very anticlimactic and done just as a dick move. But I see other people try to defend it now. I'm like, no, don't you dare.
See, Gain, I like the end of the Sopranos.
Just like, what? It just ends just like that. Not what I signed up for. Because
it just was saying it just keeps on going. Life just carries on.
So you don't think he got killed?
No, I think it was just because he just went for a meal.
I just would rather... In my mind, he went to another state. He's always on the run now. Season 5.
That's
why I like an ending like that, because the three of us all have a completely different view of how it ends.
The thing is, they really spited their fans. That's what got me. I'm like, don't start wars with your fans. Are you guys big on The Wire? Because that stars Dominic West.
Absolutely love The Wire. I think
it's pretty big, and I've even seen some British guys in commentaries saying it's big internationally, so I'm like, that's very enlightening, because
apparently a lot of the cast didn't know, and the producer didn't know.
Idris Elba's in there too, and they don't watch their performances because they don't like to get too close to something, you know, and they like to just have review or secondhand opinion saying do more of this and that. And so don't you feel like a lot of actors have to explain that to more and more people? They're like, why don't you watch your movies? And you're like, I lived it.
Yeah, it must be weird sitting watching what you've been involved in. And plus they film stuff like sometimes a year or 2 years before it comes out. And it'd be like, well, they've moved on. They've done other stuff.
They have absolutely moved on. Rest in peace, Ray Stevenson, by the way. I mentioned Rome. He's pretty well-liked.
he's brilliant in Ahsoka, isn't he? The couple of episodes that have been on, and you know he's only gonna get better as that series goes on.
But that's just it. Like, I feel like half these shows we watch and we go, those were great. We only saw them back in the day, or we saw them once. We didn't see them all the time. And so that's where I feel like we get a little even more subjective. There's some shows that are just so intense, we don't really want to watch them again. And then there's other ones where it's like, that's good, but when's the last time you watched it? You might not have as much fun on this rewatch.
So this is where me and Liam are quite the opposite. I'm a big, big rewatcher of things. And
okay, no, that's cool, because there's some stuff that gets problematic when you rewatch it.
I'm different. I don't rewatch films, but I rewatch TV. Like, I've watched The Wire
four times. Yeah.
Four times.
I quote it all the time.
Yeah. I just
it's all in the game, yo.
I just think it's just... There's just no better TV than The Wire. I think it's just one of the greatest things ever.
I recommend Homicide, though, too. The same authors also introduced the world of Detective Munch before he went on to be on SVU. But he's in The Wire final episode also as the guy who claims he used to own a bar. Cool. That actor's pretty big here. Rest in peace, Richard Belzer, because he was a comedian before he started playing a cop on all those shows. Oh, man. It brings even a bigger question is, like, how intense do you want your procedural to be? Because I see that, too, where people say, I only watch cop shows or I only watch gangster shows. But then you see stuff like The Wire, Homicide, and even The Shield blending both. Both a cop and a gangster show. Sopranos, you could say the same thing, too. It's got a lot of cops and feds in it.
What you forget about Sopranos is how funny it is.
Yes.
What the fuck did I do?
And I think people forget that. And I think people are put off by
it. There is a lot of dark comedy.
I think it's going to be more gangster.
I think that's where, like, to me, The Wire is so good, is because within the cops, there's good cops and bad cops. And within the criminals,
absolutely. There's people who want to solve the problem.
Even amongst that. Yeah. There's problematic characters who you disagree with what the decisions they've made, but mm-hmm. then you understand where they've come from. And I just love that. I just think, I think it's the greatest thing ever made, written.
Oh, absolutely. And I knew it had landed when I saw that Lenny James was in a new show called Line of Duty. And the first critical blurb was mix the Shield and the Unit and The Wire together, and you get this, you know, steroid induced, you know, tour de force procedural. I don't know if you guys have seen that one too. I know DCI Banks I'm trying to get into, but yeah, Line of Duty, who would have guessed? You make an anthology, the same three, you know, prosecutors and cops, and they're trying to take all the bad apples down in their police district.
But again, that's another show where the last series is very divisive over here.
Oh, absolutely. Don't get me wrong. Season 4, I couldn't get into as much, but 5 and 6, I thought, you know, were very strong. And, I mean, don't get me wrong. We all have hot takes. I mean, there's going to be people who can't get into some other acclaim shows. I am not a true detective guy, but I know so many other people who love it. They're like, it's a pot boiler. I'm like, I just find it dull. I don't find it engaging at all.
Slow burn movie, as long as there's a payoff.
That's the other thing too. Half the time I don't get the payoff. I'm just like, I don't find this interesting at all. The Marvel shows are doing that too, and I'm like, this character is part of an ensemble for a reason. They're not a good standalone character, kind of like how Liam was talking about the Star Wars shows. Some of those characters had no business having their own standalone show. It was just like it would be like if you tried to do a standalone show on every single Lord of the Rings character. Some of them would be good and some of them not so good. And some of them would be divisive. Some people would be like, I don't want a solo show to just Gimli or Legolas. I want just one on Aragorn or Frodo or Gandalf, you know?
So we're gonna have to start wrapping up soon, because Liam's gotta be at a party, funny enough.
And you guys are partying.
I don't want to party.
How do you party?
Well, to be fair, Cam, I'm normally in bed quite early. This is way past my bedtime normally, but I have actually got a party to go to. I'm gonna... so, but I could literally carry on talking about TV and film.
But before you go, how would you describe the partying scene there?
Liverpool is, we're known as the stag and hen do capital of the UK. So it's where everyone comes.
We're your New Orleans.
So it's your bachelor party. Everyone comes to Liverpool. So the party scene is wherever. It's pretty good.
Nice.
So yeah, Liverpool can be scary as well as it can be fun and as exciting.
But if you ever come, we can give you a tour of all the movies that were shot here.
Yeah, yeah.
The most recent Batman, the Bobby Pattinson one was filmed in Liverpool.
Yeah, there's a lot of
Peaky Blinders is filmed in Liverpool.
This is very eye-opening.
A bit of the first Captain America movie was filmed here as well. It's a city that you doubles up for a lot of other places, doesn't it?
Yeah, I'll send you a good link of a little clip. Ali Plum has done a series of videos where he's visited all cities around the UK and shown where the films are. And he's done a Liverpool one, which we'll share with you, and you can watch.
Sweet.
thanks for having us on your show.
Anytime. This is a great topic you suggested. Keep partying. Keep boogieing.
Cheers, Cam. It's been lovely speaking to you.
Have the rest of your day. Thank
Bloody
you.
Hell, you.
Howdy, yo.
Howdy, yo. Yeah,
bye, Cam.
Bye.
See you. Right.
Take care.
Cheers.
Bye-bye.
Follow us on the web on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. The podcast is available on Podbean, Spotify, iHeartRadio, Anchor, Apple, and anywhere else podcasts are available. Feel free to review our show and leave comments on any of those sites. Thanks a million for listening. It's a Jacked Up.